shoot whenever you're ready.
Okay, it's just, what was your first memory of jazz? What brought you into, what got you interested in jazz?
Were
you
Bruce Kiddy.
Bruce Kiddy.
The trumpet player.
Okay, so you were you studying classical piano?
Oh, very much so.
Okay.
I wasn't any good at it, but...
Okay, but jazz, and what was it about jazz that you liked?
Well, there was an invitation to not only repeat something, but also invent something.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time. And... that went a lot of the way.
How much influence did your father have? Because he played in the kids' rooms.
Considerable.
Band. Right.
Because, well, as you know, I mentioned Bruce.
Yes.
Bruce played the trumpet in kids, and they were probably seven of the most ordinary people you could meet.
Mm-hmm.
Not ordinary jazz people or anything like that.
No.
They could just play as far back as... I can remember, you know, you all went to kids.
That's right.
Dancing.
Yeah.
On Saturday nights.
Right. 2 and 6.
Wow.
And they had a tin full of half crowns.
Was Norrie Whitelaw the pianist at that time?
Not to begin with, no.
Oh, no.
Who was it? There was a guy called Ab Fields.
Right.
And I don't know where he lived. His son was a trainee bank manager. I remember that impressed my mother.
Yeah. It still impresses mothers. Maybe less so after 2008. Am I right in thinking, did you play trombone as well?
Yes.
I thought so. What made the transition between trombone and piano? Employment opportunities or...
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Asked if I could study the trombone at school, because I know there was a class for it there.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing happening at all. Eventually I did start getting it, but by then I think they were a wee bit on the late side with their offer.
So you'd lost a bit of interest in the instrument?
Not at all, no.
No?
No.
No.
Because?
No. When I was 18...
Forces.
Oh, of course.
I had to go and do national service. And there was a tenor saxophone player in kids' band called Willie Donnett. Don't you remember him?
No. Willie Donnett.
He's an ex-Royal Marine bandsman.
Okay.
And he impressed me a great deal because he could read music straight up or upside down. Didn't it often sounded.
I've played jazz like that.
He applied the wrong method. But no, he was a great player. I had two things I wanted to be at the time. You had to register, I think, for national service. And I had to go down to the Labour Exchange.
Okay.
And give them my details. And I told the guy there that I wanted to join the Air Force. And he said, why do you want to join the Air Force? No. Eventually, he got it out of me that I wanted to be an aeroplane navigator.
Oh.
Mm.
It was quite a difficult course and all the rest of it. Anyhow, I'd set my sights on that, and when the school exams came round, I always applied to myself to do the things that would give me the most advantage.
Okay.
I eventually, on my 18th birthday, maybe not exactly on my 18th birthday, I got the call from the Royal Marines.
Right, okay. So you became a Royal Marine bandsman.
And, well, that was the thought.
Right.
I thought, I'll be a musician. That would have gone well, but I went down, I did an audition. They said, okay, we'll let you know what's happening. There's an awful lot of lads to...
A lot of trombonists this year, yeah.
To listen to.
Right.
So I just dismissed it. Gradually went back to my basic training. Then that was in January of 1953, and I think October or November 1950, I got back squatted because I couldn't shoot straight.
Right, okay, back squatted. Okay, right, send him to the back because he's usually kind of hit in the head, right?
No, that's not my description of it. That's what they call it. Back squatted. That put me back. There was an intake of 200 new faces every fortnight at Limston Base. At the
barracks, right.
I just patiently sat back and waited for my turn to come. I thought I'd done my stuff, do you know. I got an interview with the chap who was captain in charge. We were still regarded as recruits. I phoned them and phoned his secretary and asked if I could have an appointment with him. When I got it, he said, what can I do for you? I said, not a lot, but all I want you to do is tell me why I'm not transferred to being a musician.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what I joined up for.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, we'll look into that for you. He says, probably... you'll have to do another audition. Well, I said, that's okay. By which time I got this audition, I got a sealed envelope from the chap who auditioned me. That was good. As it turned out, it was very good because I got transferred.
Okay, so you got the gig?
And that was fine. No more pay or anything.
No, no, like sure. That.
I did get slightly more pay.
Okay.
But it was only to be measured in shillings. And,
oh, God, yeah.
Well, they perhaps did, but they didn't train me as a medic.
Did not, right, okay. Because I think that's what they do with bandsmen these days. That's their auxiliary sort of. Yeah.
I didn't have to carry a rifle.
Right, okay.
Which also meant I didn't have to clean it.
That's good, yeah. the piano, what when did you migrate from the trombone to the... Were you playing jazz? You must have been playing jazz on the trombone, but when did you migrate more to the piano from the trombone?
Well, I never migrated away from the piano.
You still play it? Right, okay.
No, I started playing the piano really... when I was about
six,
8 or 9.
Okay, right, so that was firmly there.
But when did you start playing modern music on the piano?
My father came to me, he had a problem, he said. They've got this saxophone part, but they've got bars 8 at a time, and there are what appears to me to be chords. Written in these...
Rather than single lines, or...
What was being put off by was the fact that none of them had... nobody had any reason to have... Or people like Bruce did, but... chord symbols and stuff like that.
Okay, so nobody, yeah, sure, I understand that, yeah.
They were way beyond my old man, you know. Okay. And it was fine so long as it was written down. But if any of this stuff, this was the basis of any ad libbing that you were supposed to do.
Chords, yeah, okay.
I mean, nobody knew what an A minor seventh was.
Okay.
And they didn't know about logical progression.
Okay. A chord scales, sure.
The D7.
Yeah.
You know, how old were you at that
time? Twos and fives and ones and things, yeah. All that, yeah.
How old were you, Jerry, at that time?
About 10, 11.
Right.
Okay, well.
So at that age, how did you get to know? You must have been reading about chords and symbols.
Oh, yes.
And, well, so you were really interested in music.
Yes, yeah.
At the age of 10, you went to a teacher and you had to play your parts or your arpeggios.
Yeah.
So you must have wanted to read, you know, how the music. How did you...
I don't know.
Maybe it was on piano copies.
I sometimes did my homework as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, they had the melody, but they would also have a chord symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what triggered your interest in it. So,
I have no idea.
No. We got arpeggios, but we didn't get chord symbols or things.
Chord symbols, okay.
So the use of them.
In the 20th century, they became a shorthand, you know, like, you that's know, right. You'd write it for convenience for, you know, principally jazz musicians, I think. It was a convenience for jazzers, like, you know.
We shouldn't have, but I don't think it was principally jazz musicians. It was perhaps anyone, composers even, who could acquire this knowledge without a great deal of trouble.
Yeah. Okay.
How did you ever find that you wanted to play a piece of music and then you would work out the notes for that? Not off music, but...
Using your ear.
Using your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that was kind of frowned upon.
It was, strange, Jerry, yeah. But all I'm saying, you were a rebel.
Yeah.
You were already part of the way. You were going to the source, and I could see that maybe... You would want to play something you didn't have the music, so you would sit down and work out the chords.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, Bruce Kiddy got me going on arranging.
Right, okay.
Well, please.
Bruce was very good at it.
Right.
Right.
And he always had little tips. Shortcuts.
Cool.
That he passed on to me, you know.
Fantastic.
Well, for which I was very grateful. Will always be remembered by me for all of that he did for me. And he did it willingly. He had a knowledge, not only of that, but also a memory of... songs.
Yeah. Okay, he did it already.
That kind of thing. He was able to show me how if you're writing for a seven-piece band, which is what kids had, and I knew this, I worked out little inputs that he could bring to life. Just through his, I suppose it was kind of an incessant hunger for information. I found the whole business was quite rewarding. I didn't realise that so much as a child. I tended to take an awful lot of for granted, and for that reason, My practice used to suffer.
Right, okay.
It used to suffer considerably.
Yes, you're just normal. But the other influences were radio
Yeah, radio.
And records.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, what bands did you sort of like?
Listening to the radio, well, I mean, there was a BBC show band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get any better than that. Mm-hmm. It was Geraldo, Dead Heat.
Yeah.
Johnny Dangoth.
Johnny Dangoth.
Came along.
Aye.
Later on, you know.
Yes.
Because to begin with, he only had 7 in his band.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could afford to pay.
Yeah.
When did you first hear Jimmy? Was it with the Jimmy Jukers? That ensemble, Johnny Dankworth?
No, it certainly wasn't. I had heard so much about Jimmy Juker up until I actually came to hear him. There was only Bruce Kiddy.
Okay.
And Harry Hall.
Right.
I don't know if you remember Harry.
I do remember the name. I can't quite put a face to it, but I do remember the name.
He was a wonderful trumpet player. He played with Ted Heath.
Okay.
Good player. You can go much further than that. And that's at the time when Ted Heath employed probably 3 of the 4 best trumpet players.
Sure, in the country.
They were on the go, and the third one wasn't that bad either, you know.
Right, sure, yeah.
Harry was a natural trumpet player. He couldn't tell you if it was a tune he'd heard recently and wanted to play. He couldn't tell you what key it was in.
Okay.
So he used to play wee bits of it. But he somehow got over that, or we got over that.
Right. So Jimmy, you'd heard a lot of stories about Jimmy Juker.
Yeah. I must confess, with being exposed to Harry Hall's trumpet playing.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be something impressive.
He didn't impress me too much.
All right, okay.
He was very, very good, mm-hmm. You know, but he was different.
Okay.
Harry Hall could sound like Harry James.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
Miles Davis, anybody.
Wow.
With Jimmy Juker, you got Jimmy Juker.
Jimmy Juker, yeah.